Yeah, FM Reverse. We are back. Live from Las Vegas, the Bookmakers Podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Colucci, live from Las Vegas, live from the Rampart Casino, doing our thing as always, kicking it with the brothers, as always. And yeah, it's been a while now, creeping up on the NFL season's week three, and tonight we were actually able to witness the Thursday night game where Carolina faced off against Houston and came out victorious. Sam Darnold once again had a real nice game, and now 3-0 Carolina. Unbelievable. The Panthers, you know, they're one of those surprise teams, guys. That's why we got a lot to talk about here on FM Reverse. Thanks again, Darth Vegas, for the great introduction, as always. FM Reverse, Bookmakers Podcast. And, yeah, looking at this game tonight, I mean, it was quite interesting how, you know, Houston came to play, but you have to understand that, you know, yeah, some ads in the background there. That's great when I'm pulling up my computer. But, yeah, definitely an interesting game overall. And we opened that game at the Rampart and South Point at Carolina, a 7-point favorite. And that game floated up to 9, guys. So keep that in mind. That game, we took tons and tons of action, and it was not on the right side, I'll be honest with you. It was on the wrong side from the bookmaker's standpoint. And, yeah, like we said, there was some unbelievable... McCaffrey got hurt early. Let's keep that in mind. So it was a good performance, but we're going to keep our eye on McCaffrey's injury status, especially moving forward now. And that's very important when you start to think about that and move into the season as it progresses. You know, like we said, Tyrod Taylor, he was hurt. Several quarterbacks were injured in the last week, and we saw that come into play, and it definitely is a major factor. Donald, 304 yards. Hubbard had to pick up the rushing slack, and therefore, McCaffrey, he went down early. So you fantasy football people out there, and we don't touch upon that too much because this is the Bookmakers Podcast, but, you know, if you do have McCaffrey in fantasy football, it's going to be a rough go. We'll see what the injury was. It seemed like he tweaked the hamstring. They showed the run on Instagram, on Twitter, all those social media outlets. So definitely want to keep your eye on that. And it was a cover for Carolina, 24-9. You know, once you miss the extra point there on the touchdown that the Texans had, who are now 1-2 on the season, you kind of start second guessing because the game could land on 8. A key number for what we had at the Rampart and South Point. And, you know, that's always a big factor when you're handicapping and you're, you know, watching the game, in-game wagering, etc. You get to those key numbers where we did have the 7, 7.5, 8. And then all the way up to 9, it's a factor from any betting angle. And there were some massive stats that were in favor of Carolina in this game. I mean, Houston doesn't rush the ball all that well, and you're playing against one of the best rush defenses. 42 yards they ended up with in the game, the Texans. So, you know, the question mark was Carolina's offensive line. Could they protect Donald? They did a good job. Once again, 23 of 34, 304 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but he did definitely outplayed Mills on the other side of the ball. And like I said, 42 rushing yards for the Houston Texans. That's not all that great. And even with McCaffrey hurt, they were able, Carolina, to run for 117 yards. 407 yards of total offense against 193. So that was pretty major. Donald did rush for a touchdown. He played exceptionally well, like I said. So credit to him. And now we're starting to see how, you know, what the New York Jets and that coaching staff with Gase and all those guys actually did to Darnold. And now he is starting to progress and play much better in a quarterback-friendly system. So, like we said, 3-0 now for the Panthers. You don't want to always put under the microscope failures in the past, especially when you're moving on to a new city. But you now know what Zach Wilson is going through with this team. And even though Robert Saleh is there now, it's a different outlook and a different feel for the New York Jets. And they want to progress. But, you know, Darnold definitely is in a better place. 3-0 right now. There's no way the Jets could have ever possibly been 3-0, even with Darnold there, in my opinion. So, you know, you take all these things into consideration. You take a look at the rosters and the change of situation. And Darnold, like we said, definitely in a better place. So moving on now, you get to week three of the NFL. And we're going to start to look at some of these games, Arizona Cardinals and Jacksonville. This is definitely going to be one of those interesting games as well, because now you have Urban Meyer on the hot seat. You have the kid Kyler Murray doing so well. And, you know, it's just, Lawrence is under a lot of pressure. They got banged up, Jacksonville did, in the preseason, I got to say, and during training camp. So, you know, now you have this USC job that's out there and enamoring, and everybody's asking, well, you know, is Urban Meyer going to entertain going back to the college game? And it's amazing. You coach two games, and all of a sudden now there's just talk and more talk, and it's crazy the way the NFL is. It's a business, but also college is a business, where you see some of these head coaches just make immense, immense amount of dollars. And what you also see is you become the prince of the city, basically, where you are coaching. And Urban Meyer went through so many, whether it was at Florida, whether it was at Ohio State. Possibly now they're talking about USC. I don't want to go down that road. I mean, I got to say that definitely he's got to at least ride out the season in Jacksonville. And that becomes very important to watch, because you lose the faith of your locker room and the players. So we opened the game at 7.5 at the Rampart and South Point, still sitting at 7.5, 52.5. This is not one of those games where we're seeing all that much handle, I got to say, thus far. I think there's going to be tons of parlays and teasers from my side of the counter riding on Arizona. So we're going to need Jacksonville from a bookmaker's standpoint. I'll tell you that right now. I know how my public perceives. You know, Murray is just having such a good season. And, you know, you look at the stats, you look at Hopkins, you just look at this high-octane offense that has been really firing on all cylinders. And you start to second-guess, how is Jacksonville going to compete? How is the Jacksonville defense going to be prepared? So moving forward, I believe we're going to see a lot of Cardinal money, 2-0 versus 0-2. And like I said, Jacksonville definitely up against it thus far. And you have the Urban Meyer parody. Okay, moving on to the next game, Tennessee, 4.5. We opened at home versus the Colts, total of 50. We're now looking at it bet up to 6. So this is a good spot, I believe, as well for Tennessee. I just think that, you know, they're looking to turn the corner. They're looking to prove a point. And this is a nice game. The Colts, we know Wentz is really banged up. Titans 1-1, Colts 0-2. They lost those games at home. Very important to gauge. And sitting at 6 right now, we're seeing a lot of Tennessee money. And total has been actually bet down from 50 to 48. So we're seeing some action on the under there as well, guys and gals. You know, we cater to all the masses here. Remember that on If and Reverse. We want to garner all the handle, all the business. We know there's a lot of ladies out there now looking to wager on games and just be a part of it. And we welcome that at the Rampart in South Point. We welcome it in Las Vegas. And definitely we want to see everybody out there, women and gentlemen alike. So getting back to the Colts, you know, their offense, they average 111 yards rushing. That's 15th in the league. 261 yards passing. That's 15th in the league. So 15th, 15th, 111, 261, you know, so we're going to see how that plays out, especially with Wentz banged up. I think Tennessee has a deep threat now in Julio Jones. It's just a matter of can Tannehill keep this team in the right direction. And you know Henry is a fabulous, fabulous back. He just showcased his talents last weekend. And he was grinding. I mean, towards the end of that game, this guy is just unbelievable. Fourth in the league in rushing. They average 149 yards a game rushing the ball. And now you add Julio Jones and you have the 11th ranked offense, and I think that could only improve. Okay, moving on to the next game, Ravens minus 9 over the Lions. Currently I believe at the Rampart and South Point, we do have that game off the board. A lot of injuries there, a lot of different things going on. I do believe that that will be the right line in that range, barring injury reports. Ravens minus 9 over the Lions. Lions once again getting a lot of points at home. And you could see how, you know, they didn't really step up to the task of the Green Bay Packers in this week 2 matchup. So now you get the short rest week. We're going to see how that totally plays out. Lions once again up against it. Jared Goff a little banged up. We're going to see how that plays out. Moving along, Washington football team at Buffalo. Buffalo opened as a 9-point favorite. That's right, guys, a 9-point favorite. And what we're seeing here is now a little action against the Bills, which is shocking to me because Buffalo was fabulous bouncing back, even though Tua Tagovailoa went down in that game against Miami. Buffalo proved the point that, you know, they weren't ready for the season opener against Pittsburgh. And the class that Allen possesses and Diggs was on showcase. They have to get Beasley a little more involved. I think the running game also is in question, but they put up 35 points, a shutout for the first time since I can't remember that they shut out Miami. It was, I know that I saw the graphic and it was slightly comical. I couldn't believe that it was that long. But actually, like I said, now, guys, we're getting a lot of Washington football team action. Henneke, he looked okay against the Giants, but I don't know if he's up for the task for this. The second-ranked defense in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills are. Let's keep that in mind. And they're still sixth in rushing. You know, as you go through this team and you look at the rushing statistics and the roster of the rushers, you definitely want to look at other offensive weapons, but they're playing well, I gotta say. And Allen has got this team on his shoulders. He's leading them. They're 1-0 in the division, 1-1 overall. They're already ahead of Miami and New England, who are both 1-1 in the division. So, I like Buffalo in this spot, especially at the key number of 7. It's now clicked all the way down from 9. Down to 7. I'm questioning maybe there's a Diggs injury. Maybe there's a little something we're not hearing about. Davis we know about. Hyde, all those guys. But I still think that Buffalo is a way better team than Washington, especially playing at home. And I think they need to prove that and win this game at home. All kidding aside, Buffalo, if they want to continue on to that Super Bowl trek that I think they can make, this is an important game. And especially against a team like Washington, I think they could get off on that team. All right, moving down the line now, a very tough matchup considering the last game that each of these teams have played. Mac Jones, New England Patriots, minus 3 was the opener, total of 43 against the New Orleans Saints. And what we're seeing is great two-way action here because it's holding at 3. Total was bet down to 42, which I can understand. Jameis Winston did not look as good as he did against the Packers opening week. And that's definitely going to be a focal point of can he control this offense with Taysom Hill possibly looking over his shoulders if things start to go rough for Jameis Winston. And keep that in mind. You know, Jameis is definitely a slinger. It's a gunslinger. That's the way I like to refer to it. A lot of people are enamored with his play. You know, he could throw the deep ball. He definitely is effective when he is on his game. But remember, he had under 200 yards against the Saints, but it was such a high-powered offense and scoring at will against the Saints in that opener. Against the Packers. I'm saying he's playing against his own teammate. Against the Packers, I should say. The Saints look so good, and that was on a neutral field, taken out of the Superdome. And then to lay an egg the way they did, I definitely want to see more. That's my whole key. I want to see more out of Jameis Winston. I mean, you know, he had 42 attempts. He's got 25 completions, 259 yards in two games, a 6.2 average. Now, he was horrible in that second game. So already been sacked four times. I mean, he's got five touchdowns, but that was all in that first game. Taysom Hill has only got one attempt thus far this season, so keep that in mind as well. They have not gone to him just yet, but I think there's going to be a little wrinkle in the offense. I think Peyton's going to mix it up. Kamara, he's been okay. I mean, 88 yards in two games. That's not all that great. He's only averaging 44 yards a game. This definitely is sounding like a New England home field advantage with that defense. And I'm definitely thinking that Mac Jones could lead this team in the right direction. New England 1-1. Mac is definitely... I've heard some of the experts out there, guys, say that if the NFL draft took place now, Mac Jones might be actually the number one pick in the NFL draft. So, you know, that's saying a lot about Mac. He's a fabulous talent, 470 yards this season so far. He's only got one touchdown. He's been sacked four times as well. You know, it's definitely a learning curve for Mac Jones. Damian Harris has been great. He's got the job done for them. He's averaging 81 rushing yards a game. And then you throw in James White, a few of these other scat backs, and you definitely have a offense that could work and move the ball down the field. So in this game, I rarely give out opinions. I'm liking New England's chances. I'm not sold on this New Orleans Saints team just yet. You know, and I'm definitely not sold after the Week 2 performance. Okay, moving right along, we have the Kansas City Chiefs against the Los Angeles Chargers. Let me say that right. I almost said the San Diego Chargers. But the Los Angeles Chargers, who were actually outmanned in SoFi Stadium that holds about, 100-some-odd thousand fans. And they fell victim to my Cowboys. I got to say, my Cowboys were fired up. They played very well, and you've seen the Chiefs as a 7-point favorite after the loss against the Ravens. Possible bounce-back game. I think Herbert's got a lot to do. Let me tell you that right now. I think Herbert is going to definitely have to step up. He's got his work cut out for him here. I'm telling you right now. This is going to be a big bounce-back game for the Chiefs. Chiefs have not covered, 1-9 in their last 10? And if you look at it, passing stats are pretty much even. Chiefs haven't been rushing the ball all that well. They average 400 yards, 416 for the Chargers. They actually outgained the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs defense is definitely under scrutinization now. I'm using big words for you people. I think we have to scrutinize this defense of the Chiefs. And that's why you see a 54.5, guys. That's a huge total. And we actually opened it at 55.5. So it's getting bet down. What logic? I don't see. Maybe the Chargers defense. Maybe the Chargers, offense ain't going to score that much. I don't know. Edwards-Helaire's got to run a little better. 27 rushing attempts, only 89 yards. I mean, that's definitely going to be under the microscope. You don't want Mahomes running too much. You know, they run those trick plays with Tyreek. Tyreek's got to be involved the way he was on week one. For the Chiefs to cover this game, he was much involved week one, not involved week two. He has 211 receiving yards on the season, and definitely you're looking for him and Kelce to combine and get off in this game. Tough spot for the Chargers again. We're going to see how this plays out. Herbert definitely under the sophomore jinx watch. So I'm looking forward to watching this game. I think it is a spot where the Chiefs actually can cover, but will that defense falter? Next game, we're actually seeing a little football giant money at the Rampart and South Point. The New York football giants are -3 and 48 is the total. You know, against the Atlanta Falcons, who Matt Ryan now I'm starting to watch, starting to fall into that Drew Brees category. I said it to my man Jimmy Ott, you know, you got to keep your eye on these older guys. They start to get older, they're not as effective. I'm telling you now, you got to watch their performances on the field. The arm strength just sometimes isn't there. A lot of different variables, and Matt Ryan is definitely falling into that. You don't have Julio Jones anymore. I know he was getting frustrated. Definitely he was getting frustrated. So, you know, what we got to do here is watch and observe how Matt Ryan starts to, you know, play and how his career goes. He's getting older and older. He's one of them older quarterbacks. And I definitely want to keep my eye on Matt Ryan and the performance. So, you know, a lot going on with Matt Ryan, with the Giants, all these teams. Yeah, you can hear the football music. I'm getting excited. It's week three, guys. And I want to apologize. You know, Dwayne Colucci here, if at reverse. We didn't get to go through that whole, win total perception that I had last year. We had a lot more time during the COVID. Keep that in mind. You know, not making excuses, but if in reverse, we wanted to switch it up a little this year when we were, talking about it and going through everything. We just wanted to make sure that, everybody was pleased. Maybe a week in, week out thing is a little better. Maybe every 2-3 weeks. Very difficult making these podcasts, guys. And, I want to bring that up as well in between these NFL games as we're halfway through the card. Football Giants -3 over the Falcons. Like I said, we're getting a little giant money. But the next episode of If M Reverse, we're going to take an in-depth look at, an interview that I had done. And, I did it with Gorilla Cross Radio, my good friend Jose Vellante, Straight Bet Sports Live. And I just want to give you an insight. We're going to give you a little tape of how that is to, record live and to be involved in something like that. It's very, very exciting. Jose and Rob G and the guys over there, they do such a fabulous job that, I was really pleased to be a part of it. And, thanks once again. But we're going to go over that in the next episode of If M Reverse. And it's going to be an inside look on how it is to make a live radio show with a bookmaker in Las Vegas and a host, as well as some of these podcast insights, what it is to be behind the sound and all of that. So we want to give you all the perspectives, not only my perspective. This is the Bookmakers Podcast, so I always give you the action, where it's coming in across the counter at the Rampart and South Point. And remember, I don't like to pat myself on the back and toot my horn, but I was the originator of this concept. You're starting to see a lot of the other bookmakers fall suit, a lot of the other conglomerates, the big wigs out there making their podcasts, getting out there. It's a fabulous tool. I always preach social media at @MYBookieDwayne on Twitter. Encourage you guys to ask me questions, throw things out there. Let's try to keep it clean. We definitely are professionals, and I will answer these questions as concisely and as positively as I can, and definitely put the bookmaker spin on it and answer your questions. I'm easy to find on Instagram, on Facebook. I am definitely what you like to call a social media whore, but we keep it clean, and that's what it's all about, having fun, giving as much information as we can. And it's important, a lot of people want to know what the bookie's thinking, what action we take, what size bets we take, what are limits in certain situations, how do you react to certain situations. I had a fabulous conversation with Jimmy Odd about the, some of the competition. There was a big 16-team parlay that was out there. It was worth in excess of $700,000. It was a free play from one of the competitors out there. They ended up settling on 120 something thousand that the gentleman did end up collecting, and a salute to him, you know, as we say in Italian, you know. But that is something that Jimmy Ott hit right on the head. He asked me and he said, "Dwayne, there's no negotiations in Las Vegas for something like that." And I told him, absolutely not. You know, some of these companies, they're promoting their mobile apps, they're getting promotions out there. You have to remember, when you're dealing with bookies, and bookies that I'm synonymous with, I you know, I grew up in New York, and I know how the street bookies operate, you know, like I said, social clubs, all that. I know that there would be no buyout on a parlay like that, if a bookie even took a parlay like that back home. But, you know, we take eight teams off the board, so it was pretty much irrelevant at the Rampart and South Point. Most of the places take eight teams off the board. Parlay cards, that's when you start to get your numerous amounts of combinations. And you also have to factor in liability. Now, especially, you know, a big conglomerate which did offer this free promotion, there's 15, 16 team parlay, guys alive to the last game. Detroit Lions, you know, as a bookmaker, I would have felt pretty confident. Lions on the money line against the Packers. Packers coming off that big loss. Aaron Rodgers wanting to set things straight. You know, you got to take these things into consideration. And Jimmy, you know, he asked, would your team, you know, your team at the Rampart or at the South Point have negotiated a payoff? And no, there's nothing like that in Las Vegas. There's a company called PropSwap. You're more than happy to see how much they would have given you for that ticket going into the last game. I mean, then you're talking about hedging on the Packers on the money line, 440, 450, 460, whatever you see, you know, $700,000. What are you going to get? $460,000? You know what I'm saying, guys. It's hard to get that money you know, together in a short window of time, whether it be, you know, 17 to 14 hours, and dealing with banks, getting that money together. I think the guy made the right decision. I would have taken the 120 some odd thousand. Who the hell could pick 15 out of 15 to begin with? And, you know, you look at the end result, and the Packers laid a beating on the Lions. So, you know, Detroit is one of those teams. They're just a bad luck team. Like I said, congratulations to that lucky winner. I think the company did a very nice solid, but they get a lot of publicity out of it as well, guys. And keep that in mind. All those bookies out there that are critical, when me and Jimmy Vaccaro put out those tickets that are purchased at the Rampart and South Point, you know, we block out the code so you can't see the barcode. We like to give those amounts out there. And, you know, we still keep the integrity. There's never any player's card number on there. So it's definitely, you know, like you say, client and businessman. You don't know who's making the bet, period. The guy who's making the bet knows who's making the bet. So we're not revealing any of our clients, but we like to put out there the real tickets as opposed to just a computer screen, something that was bet on a mobile application where there is no physical backing. You know, you could see always on the mobile app, there's a timestamp and all that, and definitely not questioning the integrity. But, you know, what a promotional tool. Oh, we gave out $25 for free. The guy turned it into 100 grand. What's better than that? You know, this guy's going to lose that 100 grand right back. He's going to think he could win forever if that was his first ticket. Probably not, but, you know, if it is, that's so enamoring that you could hit 15 out of 15 and get paid and not have to sit on the 16th game. So, you know, we're talking about a lot of stuff from my point and my side of the counter, and it's important to address these things. You know, you have so many different situations where the bookmaker wants to keep that client, you know, very happy, and you want to have that client and business relationship. And I spoke about that, too, with Will Yankovic, you know, in Forbes magazine, where he was talking about if bookmakers on the street, you know, illegal bookmakers are still competition to us here in Las Vegas. And yeah, of course it is. You know, and I disagree with my colleagues on this. You know, there's a several, you know, a good friend of mine, Johnny Avello, he said, you know, that it's hard for them to compete with our betting menu. You know, when you dealt with a bookmaker and you're betting without cash up for 25 years and it's a trust relationship. Not always these gamblers are looking to bet on will Sam Darnold complete more than 23 passes. Yeah, you know, it's just not what's in the curriculum. Guys are used to just betting straight run lines. There's different puck lines with bookmakers. There's, you know, so the betting menu, yeah, is extensive when you deal with DraftKings, with the, you know, FanDuel, these big, whoever it is. But when you have a relationship with somebody for 25 years, you're not always betting with cash up front, which is huge. And, you know, I didn't see the article touch upon that too much, but that is what's the enamoring factor. And, you know, I stress that. And the relationship. You know the guy for 25 years, you're not just going to jump where you have to deposit $200, $300, $400, start betting on propositions. That's then changing your betting tactics. And if you're into that, that's cool. I mean, I would recommend having the mobile apps and keeping your relationship with the bookie. We have mobile apps within the state of Nevada, in Las Vegas. You could sign right up at the Rampart and South Point. Most convenient thing in the world. I'm looking at it right now. You know, I have my laptop set here. I got the recording devices, but I got to look at the current lines that we have, you know, at the Rampart and South Point. So, you know, it's just fabulous. You want to shop with the competition, you get as many mobile apps as you can, especially if you're in Nevada. I would recommend that. You see the different betting menus. You definitely want to dabble in them. So I recommend it. But do not ever think that there is not competition out there from an illegal stream. Remember that. Plus, there's always the factor of the gambler. Does he want winnings reported as well? Another factor where, you know, you take out the government. So that's a whole nother conversation. I would check out that article in Forbes magazine. Several of us reputable bookmakers, and I say reputable, myself included, Johnny Avello, Johnny Murray, great bookmakers in Las Vegas. And, you know, we gave our opinions and let you know what we feel on these current situations with the illegal mainstream. Okay, getting back. Let's get back now. Let's go to the big game in Las Vegas. And we'll get back to the Bears and the Browns. And we'll get back to the Bengals and the Steelers. But the Raiders are crushing. And now, Raiders opened at 4. We know the injury. We know Tua Tagovailoa is not going to be suiting up. Rib injury, very serious. You know Brissett now is throwing the ball. Yeah, they're getting you know, some wide receiver help back. It's going to be very interesting to see how Miami operates. Gaskin, those guys, you know, I think they're going to have to run the ball. I think they're going to have to use the short passing game. It's going to be very difficult with the Raiders riding high right now. Derek Carr leading the NFL in passing stats. Just looks fabulous. Jacobs hasn't even been healthy yet. And this is where, you know, as a bookmaker, like I said, in Las Vegas, you book to your room. And here's another example. When you're in New York and Garrett Cole is pitching, if he's 300 in Las Vegas, he's 350 to 360 in Brooklyn and Queens. I'll tell you that right now. The Bronx, wherever you are, Manhattan, he's going to be a little extra. Keep that in mind. So now what you're dealing with is the Las Vegas Raiders situation and them getting good and me fearful as a bookmaker and I'm going to chase that Las Vegas Golden Knight, you know, situation and reputation. So we're keeping our eye on the Raiders. Brent Musburger, a great friend of mine, he stopped into the Rampart over the weekend. He was breaking down the game. Told me they had a massive chance. They really played well. You thought they might have had that little bounce after the great game against the Ravens, beating Lamar Jackson. Phew, they came right out and they took care of business again. So, you know, yeah, definitely the Raiders are now all of a sudden a force in the AFC West. And this is a huge game. They're catching a Miami team that is very banged up. -4, I'm anticipating by game time, this will be near 6, guys, in Las Vegas. I actually needed some water after that because I'm choking here. I can't believe the Raiders are this good. 500 team last year. Looking at their schedule ahead, I thought they might have been in the 500 range again this year. A lot of football to be played, though, so let's keep our eye on that. Waller and those guys definitely getting the job done. Like I said, Carr has been phenomenal. I mean, if you're watching him and watching the way the Las Vegas fans are getting behind this team and this home field, the Death Star, I mean, yeah, I see you nodding over there. I know you're speechless. Pull out that lifesaver, because I tell you, the Death Star is unbelievable, and I know you'll be dwelling in the Death Star. So we're going to see how Jacoby Brissett reacts in the Death Star. And like I said, you're going to have Gaskin running the ball a little more than 14 times. Brown, they're going to have to mix it up. You know, like I said, Jacobs hasn't been all that healthy. The wide receivers have been fabulous. Waller is just amazing. We know that. Ruggs, oh my God, Renfro. These guys are stepping up big time. I mean, right now, two games in, and I'm looking at five wide receivers that have over 100 yards on this Raider team. And Carr has 817 yards and four touchdowns and is throwing the long ball as good as Aaron Rodgers, as good as Mahomes, as good as anybody out there. Very good. Credit to this kid. I'm very pleased to see success here in Las Vegas. But from a bookmaker standpoint, we definitely have to watch our P's and Q's, make these lines concise, pump it up where we have to, because we know the money is just going to start pouring in at times. Okay, going back on those other games, like I said, Cleveland Browns opened up at 8, down to 7.5 against the Chicago Bears. This is going to be interesting on several fronts. We're going to see really how good Baker Mayfield is now, stepping up into the meat of the season. He definitely is, once again, a guy going through trials and tribulations. Justin Fields is going to be the starting quarterback. Andy Dalton is totally banged up. I wouldn't even start at Dalton. You know, you get into Matt Nagy's head, and, you know, the Bears are just a train wreck, if you ask me. I mean, they're averaging 166 passing yards, 264 total yards a game, going up against a team that averages 406. Now, I'm telling you right now, if Baker Mayfield blows this game, and he hasn't been all that great, I'll tell you right now, 534 yards, you know, 40 or 49, very accurate, but what is that? Fantasy football points? They could run the ball. They got Kareem Hunt. They got Nick Chubb. Fabulous wide receivers. Landry, got to keep an eye on his status. And, you know, Odell Beckham, who the hell knows what's going on there? I just, you know, I don't know what's inside of his head and what's going on. So, big game for Cleveland, big game for Chicago. Bears 1-1. Fields, let's see if he is the quarterback of the future. We know that Andy Dalton is not. So let's just put that to rest. Maybe a good spot for the Bears. Maybe I'm putting a little too much emphasis on Baker Mayfield and thinking the Browns are too good. But this is a key game that the Browns need to really focus on and play well. Next game on the slate, Pittsburgh Steelers opened up at 5, 44.5 at the Rampart and South Point. This game is now down to 3. Joe Burrow has a knack for covering games. Roethlisberger, you know, they didn't look all that good. Let me tell you, after that big opening week, they didn't look all that good last week. I'll tell you that right now. They stifled Buffalo, and they're going to have to ride this defense and make Burrow make a lot of mistakes. I'll tell you that right now. But Burrow is definitely a gamer. 39-57 on the season. This kid's the real deal. I'll tell you right now. Ben's getting long in the tooth. So he's going to need some help. Harris is going to have to run the ball. He's been solid so far, but nowhere near what Mixon is bringing to the table. And they're going to have to shut him down. Mixon is averaging 100 yards a game, so they're going to have to shut him down. Johnson, Claypool, Schuster, they're going to have to step up and help Ben. The offensive line also is going to have to help Big Ben. Okay, moving on down, in the rotation, 489, 490, Jets, I don't even want to talk about them, 10.5, not seeing too much action on this game, but I will say I would anticipate money again against the Jets. Denver at home, you know, you're already over the number of 10.5, the key number, so I believe the public will continue to ride the Broncos in this particular matchup. Game could get anywhere to 11.5 to 12. Then you look for the sharp action buyback. Zach Wilson, a lot of pressure on this young kid. He you know, he seems like he's very young too. When you listen to him talk, and it was funny, I was listening to him talk about Coach Belichick and, you know, calling him dude and stuff like that. And that's cool. You know, Robert Saleh's got a great laid-back atmosphere. And, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, he's having a great season so far. 592, four touchdowns, no mistakes. But Wilson, it's a learning curve. He'll be okay. Jets are a much better coach now. They're not that great of a team. They don't have much of a defense. They're only averaging 294 yards a game. So they're going to have to add to that a little more. And this is a tough spot in Denver. I'm going to take a pass, if anything, would definitely bet Denver. Now we got the big game on the schedule. The big one, the Rams and the Bucks. Pick 'em. Now the Buccaneers have swung to a one-point favorite. Tom Brady has done very little wrong this year. Let me put it to you that way. And, you know, definitely looking forward to see how good this Tampa Bay team is. And this is a huge test. A huge test. The Rams are very solid. And especially with Matt Stafford now. Now, Tom is out throwing Matt Stafford. He's already got 9 touchdowns. Gronk has been monstrous. You know, they're getting good combination from Jones and Fournette out of the backfield. Godwin, Brown, Evans, just beasts. So let's see. Can Cooper Kupp overcome? I mean, this guy's almost got 300 yards, and he's Stafford's favorite target already. Great, great matchup. I think we're going to get excellent handle on this. This is going to be probably the highest handle game of the weekend. We're going to see some great Los Angeles action, some great Tom Brady Tampa Bay action. Like I said, Buccaneers right now, we're seeing them take the action over the counter at the Rampart and South Point, -155.5. As we start to slide into the late games, Seattle Seahawks, a road favorite, -1, holding fast what we opened them, 55.5, down to 54. So we're seeing a little action on the under in this matchup. Seattle's still a one-point favorite. You know, Russell Wilson, he's definitely running for his life at times. This is not the Seattle powerhouse that we're used to seeing, I'll tell you that right now. They're a solid team. I mean, Russ has 600 yards already this year. You know, he's thrown many a touchdowns. He's got that fabulous wide receiving core. DJ Metcalf is just a beast. Lockett has been fabulous. Those guys have already combined for 400 yards receiving. What you have to look for here is a big shootout, because actually the Vikings, you know, the same old Vikings, missing that short field goal was just a heartbreaker to set them back 0-2. Now you're playing at home against a team that is not as good on the road as they are at home. Look for the Vikings to be alive in this spot. This is why you're only seeing one. And we're getting two-way action. I'm waiting for the wise guys to sway it to mini -1. And, you know, Cook is going to have to control the game. 192 rushing yards. He's one of the best running backs in the game. And Kirk Cousins is definitely capable, but he's 58 out of 81 so far this year. So he's made quite a few, you know, errant passes. He's got Osborne, he's got Jefferson, Thielen. We know that wide receivers, that wide receiving core, and we know this team could put up points. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm giving you mini in that game, guys. Okay, stepping up now into the Sunday night action, where the San Francisco 49ers, 3.5 opener, now down to 3 against the Green Bay Packers and the rejuvenated Aaron Rodgers. After that week one disappointment, he put up some big numbers this week. And Jones was just fabulous out of the backfield. So this is a game where you got to be very careful when you're handicapping this game. Very careful betting on this game. You know the 49ers have a great defense. But can Jimmy G be rattled in this situation? You know, there's another guy. He's got a quarterback looking over his shoulder, a young rookie stud. You know, Love is 5 of 7 already this year. You know, so they put him in some spots. You know, Lance. Trey Lance. Let's get that right. Love has been the backup for Rodgers, and he is 5 of 7 this year. And that's mainly in, you know, junk time, I want to call it. I've seen him on the field actually kneeling the ball out against the Lions. But Lance is hungry, and they're going to put him in some situations. This is according to the coaching staff of the 49ers, but we've yet to see it. So now Jimmy G, does he feel the pressure? Is he the guy? He doesn't have Mostert. Mostert is hurt, banged up, gone probably for the season. So now you're looking at Mitchell running the ball, and it's been effective thus far. I mean, 36 attempts, 145 yards. You know, I think Mostert was going to start to see a lot of the workload as the season wore on. But, you know, now they're a little banged up. You got Lance looking over Garoppolo's shoulder. Samuel already 282 yards. He's been the go-to guy for Garoppolo. Kittle, we know how good he is. He's an excellent, excellent receiver. And this is going to be a good, good game. I'm hard-pressed to give out a pick in this game. So I can understand the game getting back onto the key number of three. A little Packer action from the sharp guys. They want to get that key number of plus 3.5 down to 3. I think it's probably going to sit a good two-way action game where going into that evening, we're going to have so many parlays and teasers tied to both sides. It could be a two-way loser on both sides from a bookmaker's standpoint. Always remember that, you know, when you get all those parlays and teases and you're on to that last game and you're on to the Monday night game off the board and the parlay cards, especially on the Sunday night game, it becomes important to where sometimes you're locked into a two-way, four-way loser where it's Packers and under, Packers and over you lose, or it's 49ers over, 49ers under you lose. And I think we could be in that situation. You know, I'm not sold that Rodgers is right back to where he was. Adams is definitely going to have a fabulous game. They got to get Valdez-Scantling involved. He's definitely going to be a prop whore this year to score touchdowns because he is a deep down the field threat. He's a big body. He's now in his third or fourth season. So this guy should be maturing into a complementary wide receiver to Adams. That just hasn't taken place this year thus far. But Rodgers looked pitiful on the opening week. So this is going to be a two-way action game. We're going to be in a position where we're probably going to be a four-way loser into the Sunday night game. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. My Cowboys are 3.5. They're over the key number of 3. Total of 51.5. I mean, bet down from 4. We opened it at 4 at the Rampart and South Point. Dak has looked fabulous. Keep your eye on Amari Cooper's status because then it becomes more pressure on Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. Ezekiel Elliott, Pollard is just having a fabulous season. But, you know, Lawrence is on the shelf. That puts a lot of pressure on the defense. Get that pass rush going against a very, very hungry Philadelphia Jalen Hurts-led team. So this is going to be a great NFC East matchup for Monday Night Football. And, you know, it's hard to say great and NFC East in the same breath. But I got to say it. You know, Cowboys look pretty good. Don't sell my boys short just yet, guys, because they did look good against Tampa Bay. Played a solid game last week, 1-1. I thought they would lose to the Chargers, I'll be honest with you. So, I'm going to hear it from my Cowboy fans and my Cowboy fan friends. You know, the only New Yorker that roots for the Cowboys. And I get that all the time. You know, Jimmy Ott lighting me up. Matt Heumann's always lighting me up. All the guys, VSIM, wherever it is, ESPN Radio. How do you root for this team? And it's just how I was brought up. Ask my dad. You know, and he'll plead the fifth. He'll say it was all Dwayne. It was more Tony Dorsett, I got to say. Dorsett, Staubach, always loved Landry with the hat. You know, that's how it is. All right, Cowboy fan, let's see how they play. Monday Night Football, set a stage. So there it is, guys. We went through the NFL slate for Week 3. And naturally, next episode of If and Reverse, we're going to get a little more of the college in the mix. And, you know, we got about 9-10 minutes here to go. Naturally, you know what time it is. It's time to go over my favorite sport, the horse racing segment that everybody loves. And let's line them up. Get them in a post here. What do we got this weekend? The Pennsylvania Derby, the Kelso, Life is Good. Let's start with that. Life is good for Life is Good in this five-horse field in the Kelso race 4. I think it comes up Saturday, race 4. you know, stepping stone to the Breeders' Cup mile for Life is Good. You know, he came back. He had that fabulous run against Jackie's Warrior. That was an excellent race, a very tough spot for this horse to come back. Now under the care of Todd Pletcher from the Bob Baffert barn. And what I am learning, they're putting Irad Ortiz now on this horse, which is very important. The switch from Mike Smith to Irad Ortiz. So this is a grade two. They're going to step the horse then into the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which will be held at Del Mar. And then they're using that as a stepping stone, basically, for the Pegasus Invitational and the Saudi Cup. So they're mapping out a master plan here for Life is Good, which, you know, he's avoiding the horses like Essential Quality, Maxfield, Max Player, all those horses just right now, but definitely going to be a factor early next year and even late this year if you include the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. And looking at the Kelso, you know, you do have Chanson in there, Safi Joseph runner, who is capable, definitely has a chance, but Life is Good would definitely have to falter. Third place finish in the Forego. The Forego was that race that everybody saw on all social media, where Yaupon, Frenzy Fire, actually savaged Yaupon in the stretch. This horse was the third place finisher, quite a ways back behind those two. So it would be a significant step up. Would have to return to nearly what was accomplished in the Smile Sprint, but also Chance it was second in that race. So, you know, Life is Good, definitely going to be a factor later in the season. We're going to see him blossom. He's going to run in the big races. Keep that in mind. So this weekend, actually, the big races all take place at Philadelphia Park and at Parks, the old Philadelphia Park. Let's not get heads handed to us by calling things like the Washington Redskins, calling Philadelphia Park instead of Parks. So you got all that? All right, so I'm going to give you a few picks here. And I'm going to start with the Pennsylvania Derby. I think this is a very competitive field now without Medina Spirit. Bob Baffert, it's been documented, claims he didn't like the post, blah, 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 blah. I don't buy into all that. I don't know what Bob has been thinking lately. I think the right move is to keep the horse on the West Coast. The horse looked great in the Shared Belief. If you checked out my Twitter feed, at MYBookieDwayne, you saw the post parade of that race. I filmed it live for all you horse racing enthusiasts, and you know I'm a horse racing enthusiast. We take a lot of pride and a lot of time on the FM Reverse podcast to talk about horse racing. I'm a guest on Ron Flatter's racing podcast this week as well, so you could check out my picks in some of these races. So Medina Spirit, I think, is making the right move, staying on the West Coast. That's where he will definitely be a massive impact. He's got his feet wet over the Del Mar course, looked good, beating Rock Your World that day. So I think that was more came into Bob Baffert's, you know, more into his mind. You'll have some skeptics out there. Oh, well, there's stricter testing and, you know, yeah, whatever. All right, let's put that to rest until Bob is officially ruled off of most of these racetracks. So now we come into the race and, you know, you have several major players in this race, the Pennsylvania Derby. I think that the horse to beat actually will be, from a betting perspective, it's going to be Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon. They're going to take most of the money. I'm going to stick with the horse that I selected in the Travers. Keep me in mind. I think that there's going to be a lot of pace in this race. You know, I don't believe that a front runner is going to be able to continue to last. You also have this new face, Speaker's Corner. Bill Mott ran an amazing buyer speed figure, 122-1 over at Saratoga, where the horse just crushed. I think the horse is a little bit too lightly raced to face horses that are this battle-tested, especially Hot Rod Charlie, Midnight Bourbon, and Keep Me in Mind. I think Joel Rosario will navigate a very good trip for Keep Me in Mind, just sitting off the pace. Wayburn's going to be on the pace. I think that horse I mentioned, Speaker's Corner, will have tactical speed. You know Hot Rod Charlie likes to go to the pace. You know Midnight Bourbon ran very close to the pace as well in the Travers. And that was a very good race where he almost beat Essential Quality. keep me in mind, almost beat Essential Quality in the Jim Dandy, so they have that in common. And you have Hot Rod Charlie, who was taken down in the Haskell because he made Midnight Bourbon fall. So this is a good race, very solid race for the Pennsylvania Derby. It's good to see them get a great race out there at Parks, $1 million. I'm going to go with Keep Me in Mind. So keep that in mind. I think Joel will navigate the right trip. I think he's going to be playing catch up a little, but he will definitely nail Hot Rod Charlie. I will use Hot Rod Charlie, Wayburn, and probably Midnight Bourbon in my exotics. I'm looking to beat this Speaker's Corner because I know you're not going to get the 12-1 morning line. You're going to get a lot of money off of that Saratoga race because you're going to see all these replays on TVG and everything in that race. And it just is so visually impressive. It just has the horse faced any competition like this. That remains to be seen. Let's see. Okay, now I'm going to take a big jump. We're going to jump to race 10. And the Gallant Bob, definitely a nice race. Jackie's Warrior is 4-5 in there. Definitely going to be tough to beat. I would keep my eye on this horse because that's the horse that's going to, you know, be either in the sprint or in the dirt mile running against Life is Good. Jackie's Warrior was fabulous at Saratoga. Just from a visual standpoint, I think that horse is huge, visually impressive at a mile and under. Very, very tough to beat. So keep that in mind. I think this horse definitely will be a factor. Now I'm going to also give you a horse from California that I've been watching and I made a lot of money on. This is a tip. Race 9, the Turf Monster, the Beer Can Man. And this horse definitely loves the turf. He loves that 5-furlong strip. Blew out at Del Mar in an amazing 55 and change time. I think that this horse definitely is accomplished. I think that Mark Latt is a superior West Coast conditioner. I'm looking for this horse at a price. Flavian Pratt never puts a horse in a bad position. I mean, even though the takedown in the Haskell, I was even discussing that with Ron Flatter. I was watching the replay. I mean, he made a horse clip heels, but he was riding pretty straight in that race. That was a close call. So Flavian Pratt is one of the top riders in the country. I'm giving you guys this horse, race 9, the one horse, 5-furlong Turf Monster, Beer Can Man. Mark Glatt coming out of California. Definitely you're going to get a price just because he has to travel all the way across the country. He's running against Caratori, who's a very nice horse that I will use in exotics. Fire Crow as well. This is just such a beautiful, beautiful card. You have Battle Station in that race. So many accomplished horses, and you're seeing them all at Parks Racing, and just a fabulous, fabulous card that they put together there. So, Beer Can Man, keep me in mind. These are horses that I'm definitely going to be wagering on. If you want more of my analysis, I think I broke down the Cotillion with Ron Flatter. Also, we actually discussed closing day, the closing of an era at Arlington Park, the end of Arlington Park racing. Tomorrow is closing day. It's just sad to see it go, guys. Sad. Very sad to see that go. So, like we said, if in reverse, glad you could join us. Another episode in the books, live from the Rampart in Las Vegas. I'm Dwayne Colucci.